I'm beginning to feel a little bit older. And here's the reason why. 1973, I took the pastor to the Eastside Baptist Church in Thomasville, Georgia. And soon after that, I was visiting one of the deacon's son who had hair down on his shoulders and wouldn't open the door for me to talk to him. But I watched God work in his life. He got back in church and dedicated his life to the Lord. And God called him to preach. And then the girl that he married was one of our bus kids in Calvary Baptist in Lakeland. And she lived with us for a while. We were trying to help her. And when they were married, my wife sewed her wedding dress. So they called me a few days ago and said, "We're honoring our pastor." Last Sunday, he said, "We're honoring our pastor for his 50th anniversary. 50th anniversary is in marriage, 50th anniversary in preaching the gospel." And so I'm grateful, and it makes me feel a little bit older. But it makes me want to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
He's not the man upstairs. He's not a cross between Grandpa and Santa Claus. He's a holy God, a mighty God, almighty God, sovereign God. He's my God, and he can be your God too. Well, I want to call your attention this morning to the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is instructing young Timothy. And he makes some statements here in the third chapter of the book of 2 Timothy that I want to bring to our attention this morning. I want to put in verse number 14, and I'll just read through verse number 17. And don't let that disturb you now, because I'm going to be preaching on several passages of Scripture. Is everybody all right? We still believe the Bible is the Word of God, don't we? And Jesus said, "You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. I'm glad I know the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. The Apostle Paul said, speaking to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." I want to preach on this book that charts our course. I'm grateful that we have a Bible today. This does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. From the first word in Genesis to the last word in the book of the Revelation, it is the Word of God. Would you pray with us and ask God to speak to your heart? Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you today for the Bible. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide, our instructor. And I pray, dear Lord, that he would take the things of Christ and reveal them to us today. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and his ministry and the books he wrote. Thank you for young Timothy. And I pray, dear Lord, we could glean some thought today that would be profitable for us. I do pray for that person who might be here today that does not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. I pray, as you open Lydia's heart down on the riverbank, that you'd open their heart today to receive the truth of the word, and may they be born again by the grace of God. I pray that you'd whet our spiritual appetite as believers. Dear Lord, that you'd help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We thank you for the Sunday school hour and the teaching of the word of God. We thank you, dear Lord, for our pastor and for his ministry. Thank you for these 26 years of marriage. I pray that you continue to bless and use him for your glory. May your power be upon him, and may you get maximum glory. We thank you and praise you for all that you will do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. The Apostle Paul is instructing young Timothy, and he references verse 15, "And that from a child that's known the Holy Scripture. Where do we begin? We begin it with the child. We give the word of God to the children. Amen. And by the way, there's folks that want to qualify as to when a child is old enough to be saved. I want to say that's in God's hands, not in yours. It's not in my hands, not in my daughter's hands, but it's in God's hands. But it's one child might come to the knowledge of the truth when they're 6 or 7 years old. One might be 13 or 14. But I guarantee you this, anytime any child has any interest in coming to know Jesus as their personal Savior, God the Holy Ghost has already dealt in their heart. Amen. You say, well, I heard Dr. Bottles stop it. Yeah, I've heard them too. But that's listen, I have a Bible. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. There's never been anybody that wanted to get saved that couldn't get saved. I'm telling you, you never got saved until you wanted to be saved. And I'm telling you, it's God, the Holy Spirit, that put the want to in our heart. Amen. I was lost and undone on my way to hell. I'm grateful that he reached further down than I could reach up. He saved my soul, changed my life, and gave me new direction of life, new purpose in life. I'm a child of the King, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's mine and I'm his. And listen, I'm telling you, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And so the Apostle Paul, in verse 1 through 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's clarifying apostasy. He talks about what apostasy is, verse 1 through 9. It's contrasted in verse 10 through 13, and then counteracted in verse 14 through 17, and it's counteracted by the man of God in verse 14 and 15. It's counteracted by the word of God in verse 16 and 17. We are living in the last days. I believe America is on a toboggan sled toward hell. I believe the end is coming soon, and Jesus Christ is coming to take us to be with him. Amen. Not looking for the rupture, looking for the rapture. I'm telling you, I'm glad that Jesus is coming again. I want you to see with me the word of God prepares the child of God for spiritual maturity. We're to grow up spiritually. We're to grow into grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That's why it's a necessity that we saturate our life with the word of God. We compare scripture with scripture. And by the way, the truth makes us free, and it'll settle the questions you have in your heart if you'll stay in the word of God. And so I want to say, first of all, the scriptures makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. I want you to notice with me chapter number 3 and verse number 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, he said, sin is transgression of the law. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Isaiah 58, verse 1, he said, we'd lift up our voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. And so it's important that the word of God be preached. Somebody said, I don't like that preacher because he makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm telling you, if you have sin in your life, you ought to feel uncomfortable. It's called conviction. That's the Holy Ghost that brings us to the place where we realize that I've failed God. I've sinned. I've come short of his glory. And listen, if I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell. But I'm thankful for the mercy, grateful for the grace of God. Amen. I'm thankful that he saves to the uttermost. Notice when it's sin is transgression of the law. And not only this, sin is a universal fact. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody said, I don't have any problem with sin. You lie about other things too. No, it's sin that breaks fellowship. Now, once you're born again by the grace of God, it's an impossibility to go to hell. No. I'm saying, listen, we get saved by the grace of God. We're adopted into the family of God, baptized into the body of Christ, and we're his. We belong to him. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. But sin is a universal fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory. And I'm going to tell you, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, yeah, until you come to the knowledge of the fact that you are a sinner, lost without God and without hope, you won't be saved. Jesus didn't come to save good people. He came to save bad people. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To repentance. That's what the Bible said. And so sin's a universal fact, all who sin, and sin is an individual practice. God holds us personally accountable. For I don't blame your mom, your dad, don't blame your employer, don't blame your neighbor, don't blame your children. I'm saying for all of sin, we acknowledge that fact. Sin is an individual practice, and sin provides physical delight. Moses talked about enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season. I'm telling you, listen, sin brings pleasure, but it's very short-lived. You understand, sin provides physical delight. The pleasure of sin, sin produces serious demoralizing consequences, and the practice of sin hurts. We find that recorded in the life of David as he confesses his sin in Psalm 51. He said, my sin is ever before me. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed. And I'm saying, yes, the practice of sin hurts. It soils the soul. It does this. It feels dirty in the mind. It saturates the mind. He said, my sin's ever before. It's like an open wound. My sin is ever before me. It stings the conscience. It saddens the heart. And once you had joy, now it's gone. It sickens the body. I'm saying the personal infection by sin, it disfigures the man. He's unclean. It disgraces a man. He has no friends. It deceives a man. It disarms a man. He has no power to stop sin. And so sin will damn that soul to hell unless he repents and trusts Jesus as his personal Savior. The Word of God makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. When's the last time you were convicted about anything? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is the convictor. And I can give you illustration. I have illustration of my own life, but you know full well that sin breaks fellowship and sin makes us feel dirty. And listen, we feel like, we feel terrible on the inside. But I'm grateful when the blood's applied. I come out feeling squeaky clean on the inside by the good grace of God. Listen, I'm glad that he saves and I'm glad he keeps us safe, but he forgives us of our sin along the way. And so again, but we must repent of it. And so you have power that fits you to serve God by the Holy Spirit. And so notice with me again, the scriptures, y'all got your safety belts on? The scriptures makes us wise concerning the simplicity of salvation. Amen. To hear some folks tell it, you'd have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to figure out how to be saved. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in easy believism. I don't either in the context that folks apply that. But it's not hard to be saved. But there must be an acknowledgement of the fact that you're a sinner. And there must be also the acknowledgement that Christ Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. He died in your place. He suffered your hell. He died that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And listen, we realized we was a sinner. That's where I was. I was sitting there and I thought, listen, there's nobody in this church. That preacher is preaching right to me. And I'm glad he did, because the Spirit of God took that Word of God and burned it in my heart. I came to the end of myself. And when I came to him, listen, he saved my soul. He changed my life. And so the scriptures makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. Notice with me again. Let me get my notes crossed up here. It makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. And also makes us wise concerning the simplicity of salvation. The Bible tells us about our sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in this building today is a sinner. Either a saved sinner by God's marvelous grace or a lost sinner still on the way to hell. But you have to come to grips with that. You have to acknowledge that. No one gets saved until they get lost. And so the Bible tells us about our sin, but the Bible tells us about his grace. And the Bible tells us about his salvation. And so I was in camp meeting down in Dallas, Georgia, and on Wednesday night, the husband got saved Wednesday night. Thursday night, the wife got saved. I'm grateful that God is still saving sinners. And God can save you if you're here without Christ. But you must come to him. You come just like you are. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And we come to the Lord that way. And so the Bible tells us about our sin, tells us about his grace and salvation. So the subject of salvation is in Scripture demands our fullest attention. I can't improve on God's plan. No. There's folks. Mr. Trump said, well, if you do good enough, then you go to heaven. But if you don't do good, you go to some other place. I'm saying to you, he needs to be born again by the grace of God. And so, again, salvation is not by our worthiness. We're not worthy. Salvation is not by anything we can do. Titus 3:5 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying good deeds, good conduct, good church attendance, or even baptism, none of that saves. So you're not saved by being baptized. If I thought folks were saved by the water, I'd get me a tank truck, and I'd get folks under the water before they knew it, so they could be saved. But the song didn't say there's a fountain filled with this. There's a fountain from the city Maine, flowing from the city Maine. No. There's a fountain filled with blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You said and by the way, the devil said, "Well, you're too bad. God wouldn't save you." There's not anybody too bad for God to save. The reason you're not saved is you haven't trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. So the Scriptures makes us wise. Salvation is fully and completely provided for by the Lord Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." And so conformity to God through Christ is the only means of saving grace for the soul. Jesus paid it all. And then again, notice with me that salvation is personally received. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible said, "And he came into his own, and his own received him not." Verse 12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Our daughter's church just had their camp services this past week. And so my daughter said, I was able to lead us a sixth grade girl to the Lord on Wednesday night. And so they had 18 professions of faith. You said, how many of them got saved? Everyone that trusted Christ. And by the way, when you get saved, you get changed. There's some people that want to make a deal with God. If they get saved, they continue to live the same wicked life. No, that's not Bible. You can't get saved and continue to go on the same road. The way to heaven is a straight and narrow way. There's the broad road that leads to destruction. Somebody said that straight and narrow way, that would just kind of limit just a few people getting saved. That straight and narrow way is still broad enough for whosoever will. Jesus said whosoever will may come. And if you don't come, you miss heaven. And so again, the Scriptures, we're not reading out of some man's book. We're reading out of God's book, the hymn book. It's all about him. And it tells us about the simplicity of salvation. Salvation is personally received, and it includes the act of the will. Listen, you can't get saved without exercising your will. When you were born physically, God gave you a will. It is a free will. We are not free will Baptists, but we are Baptists with free wills. And so while I'm sitting back there lost without God, the Spirit of God whispers in my ear and said, whosoever will may come. I said, I believe I will. I didn't say that out loud. I said that in my heart. I stepped out in the aisle. I came to the altar. And when I knelt, the blood fell. I'm saying, Jesus saved my soul. But I had to exercise my will. No one can get saved for you. Mama can't get saved for daughter or son. And father can't get saved for the children. I'm saying it's a personal matter when you come to grips with the fact I am lost and need a Savior. And you don't get saved by coming and saying, dear Lord, if I wasn't saved there, save me now. No, you come as a bankrupt sinner, helpless and hopeless, and plead for mercy. And God in his mercy will save your soul. Amen. And so again, salvation is personally received. You receive a new life. It's divine life. Somebody said, well, I believe when you get saved, the old Adamic nature is eradicated. well, you're mixed up and mixed up. And listen, that's far the furthest thing from the truth. No, you still have an old Adamic nature. It's still there. It didn't get saved. It's still as wicked as it ever was. But I have a brand new nature. It's a nature that loves the things of Christ. It's a nature that desires to be with God's people. It's a nature that loves the Word of God. It's a nature that lives for God. I'm saying that divine nature. I'm grateful that He lives in me. And so again, I said they experience a new power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to see the Spirit of God working in hearts and lives and changing lives and drawing sinners to Christ that they might be saved. Amen. Wonderful. And so we experience a new power of the Holy Spirit. You have a power to face the world of sin. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We have power to fight against Satan. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we don't wait till the end of the ball game to kick a field goal, see where we won. No, we're already more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're on the winning time. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The saving faith of Christ. And then again, the power to fight against Satan, the power to forsake sin, and the power, listen, the power that fits you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the scriptures makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. That's why I got saved. I got to the place where I realized my sinfulness, my sin condemned me. I'm grateful that the scriptures makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin and the simplicity of salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is not doing the best you can. Salvation is not signing a card. Salvation is not raising a hand. Salvation is committing your soul to the keeping of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, whosoever will may come. I believe that men and women, boys and girls can be saved, and they get saved the same way, by grace through faith. And so we don't apologize for continuing to preach the same message. It's the message that saved Billy Sunday. It's the message that changed the lives of those in the past. It's the message that God used to change my life. And then notice with me again the scriptures. He said now, and that from a child. When we start as a child. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so it makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin, concerning the simplicity of salvation, but it makes us wise concerning the greatness of God's grace. T'was grace that's brought me thus far, and grace that will take me all the way home. Thankful for that grace that was extended to us. Paul said it. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not because of education or intellect or ability. No, I am what I am by the grace of God. He brought me to himself. He saved my soul. He directs my path. He opens doors. He gives me opportunity to be a witness and to preach the word of God. I'm grateful for every opportunity that God gives. And again, I say, listen, the advanced definition of grace is this. Grace is God taking upon himself the total responsibility for my sin, their guilt and punishment for all of time and all of eternity. That's grace. That's the wonderful grace of God. It's greater than all our sin. It's marvelous grace and wonderful grace. And so, again, I see the affirmation of God's grace. Paul speaks of saving grace. He said, I'm saved by the grace of God. And he said, that grace is not in vain. And then there's sustaining grace. He gives sustaining grace. He said, I labored more. And the availability of that grace, Paul said it this way. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. I'm grateful that God invited me to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. I'm grateful that our sins was judged at Calvary, past, present, and future. Notice with me again the availability of God's grace. He said, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I need him. And the longer I live, the more I recognize, I sense the fact I need him. I don't know the way in or the way out apart from him. I'm helpless and hopeless, but I'm grateful that he works in us both that desire, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm thankful he has a will for my life. And so, listen, the need of grace is continuous. The measure of grace is abundant. The Apostle Paul besought the Lord three times to remove that thorn in the flesh. And the Lord basically said to Paul, he said, now I'm not going to remove the thorn in the flesh, but I'll give you grace sufficient. And I hear Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's some things greater than the thorn. That is the will of God. And that is the way of God. The purpose of God. The plan of God. God has a plan, a purpose, a will for our lives. And his grace is sufficient. The availability of that meal. And so the adequacy of God's grace, it protects from a life of failure. Without his grace, we're failures. And then again, it provides for our private needs. And it produces godly conduct. So I'm grateful for this scripture. The word of God. All scripture. Not some. All scripture. It's given by inspiration of God. It's quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's settled in heaven. Settled in our hearts as believers. It's a lamp and a light. I'm grateful for the word of God. And Peter wrote, he said, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a matter of realizing it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures makes me wise concerning the sinfulness of sin. There was things I was doing when I got saved that I didn't reckon to be sin. But you know what happened? I sat under the preaching of the word of God. I read the word of God, and the Spirit of God made plain to me that what I was involved in was sin. And so I have a choice to make. I can adjust my life to the word of God and have fellowship with the Lord, or I can refuse and remain stagnant and never be used of God. I want God to use me. And so it makes us wise concerning the sinfulness of sin, concerning the simplicity of salvation, concerning the greatness of his grace. But let me mention one last thing. The scriptures makes us wise concerning our Christian conduct. Christians ought to act different. They ought to react different. Warren Wiersbe said years ago, your actions determine your blessings. And so the attitude, our attitude determines our blessings also. And so in Acts, the book of Acts, notice with me the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter number 2, I'd like to read Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, I believe is where I am. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible said it this way. He said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. There's something wrong about a person who comes to church and makes a profession of faith on Sunday morning. And in 2 weeks' time, Homeland Security couldn't find it. When you get saved, God changes your life. And it's not that you have to go to church. You get to go to church. You get to go to church. And so, Acts 42, Peter preached. Peter preached a sermon. What did he do? Preach the scriptures. And 3,000 folks got saved. You said, you believe that? I believe every word of it. Not only did they get saved, they got baptized. And so that's why I reject some of these fellows that run around saying, well, we had a big campaign and we had 1,500 professions of faith. No one was baptized. No one joined the church. No new churches were started. That's not biblical. I wouldn't touch anything that God's in, but I'm saying to you, we need to be careful to order our ministry according to the word of God, not the opinions of men. Not the applause of men. And so he preached a sermon. 3,000 folks got saved. And verse 42 tells us that they advanced. That is, they made progress in their spiritual life. And so they continued steadfastly. They never changed gears. Know what Paul said back in Timothy. He said over there in Timothy. He said, I want to make sure I'm reading it right. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we stay with the same book. We don't change Bibles. Fact is, it's just one. Listen, we stay with the same songs. I'm not impressed with some of this new music. I'm grateful for good songs that have a message in it, but we're not going the contemporary route.
Amen.
We're going to stay with the old-time way. We're going to have old-time preaching and praying and praising God and singing to the glory of the Lord. The Scriptures makes us wise concerning our Christian conduct. It says they continue steadfastly, didn't change gears. They continued at what they started at. And by the way, that's where I am today. 1966, when God said, I want you to preach the Word of God, God gave me a message. And so I'm still preaching out of the same book. I'm still singing the same songs. I'm grateful that we don't have to change gears. Stay with the same old way. And by the way, there's a lot of our fundamental, independent, temperamental men that are cutting corners. They're cutting corners to appeal to a crowd. I'd rather have 5 in a phone booth and have the power of God than to have 500 without the power of God. And so we stay with the same message. And so they advanced in Bible study, studying the Scriptures as we do in Sunday school and as we do in our personal life. There can be no progress without Bible study, about comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's what I appreciate so much about my pastor. I never went to my pastor with a question that he did not say, well, Brother Joel, let's see what the Bible says. And he'd open the Bible and give me a chapter and verse and give me some encouragement from the Word of God. I'm grateful that they advanced in Bible study, in the apostles' doctrine. There can be no progress without Bible study. God save us from spiritual ignorance. When I'm on the road, and I'm on the road often, I always go to Sunday school. I've had pastors say again and again, well, you don't have to go to Sunday school. You can sit in the office or you can rest. And I said, no, if you're having Sunday school, I'll be there. But I've heard some of the most outlandish things in Sunday schools across this country. First place, they start about 15 minutes late, and then they sit there and chew the fat for another 15 minutes, and then they have a little bit of a ditty of a Sunday school lesson. And I heard this Peckerwood get up and say, well, he said, the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the will of God. And I wanted to jump up and correct the problem, but I didn't want to tear the church up. But it's amazing what, listen, give me chapter and verse. Tell me what God said. Show me what's wrong. Tell me how to get right. And listen, it's all right to be strong, all right to be hard, all right to even be long. But preach, give me the Word of God. That's what I need for my soul. That's what I need that's what my family needs is the Word of God. And so they advance that way. Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Not knowing the Scriptures. So if you're not careful, if you don't know what the Bible says about it, then you'll be swallowed up with some false doctrine. And so again, the Bible must be in our heads for enlightenment. And the Bible must be in our hearts for to establish us. And the Bible must be in our hands for efficiency. I'm telling you, they advanced in church attendance. Hebrews 10:25, we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so it's not optional. Listen, if church is meeting Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, then if I'm a member, I need to be there Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I need to be faithful to God. I need to set the right example. And so the apostles, they continued in the apostles' fellowship. They advanced in church witness. They advanced in intercession. They continued in prayer. The Bible said they continued in prayer. They knew that prayer was vital to their spiritual growth. We have not because we ask not. And we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. And brother, we're to pray always. That's what the Bible said. And so prayer was vital to spiritual growth. It's vital for spiritual health. And it's vital for cleansing. It's vital in Christian conduct or spiritual conduct, our conflicts. And prayer is the goal of God's purpose. And prayer is a generator of spiritual passion. And prayer is the gateway to divine power. They advanced in holy living. Their lives radiated Christ. Notice verse 47 of Acts 2. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord, not the preacher, not the evangelist, not the soul winner, but the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. When Philip was out in the desert dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch, that Ethiopian eunuch went to the right place with the right purpose, reading the right book. But he said, Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And so we need to be in the guiding business, guiding folk to the place to where they get their spiritual needs met in the Lord Jesus. I'm grateful I have a Bible. Thankful for the Holy Spirit that indwells me. Thankful for the promises of this book. There's never been a promise made that God wasn't able to keep. And if you find anything wrong in the book, and by the way, I've preached with men that used to hold strong to the King James Bible, that of the last year or so, they said, well, I found a error in the King James Bible. No, they found an error between the ears up here in the brain. No, this is the Word of God. It's settled in heaven. And so I'm grateful the Scriptures, hold to the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, memorize the Scriptures, preach the Scriptures, teach the Scriptures, apply the Scriptures, and let God's perfect will be done in your heart and in your life. I'm grateful for His faithfulness to preserve His Word. Some folks say, well, I believe in the inspiration, but I don't believe in the preservation. The same God that inspired it preserves it. And so we have the inspired, unadulterated Word of God. Makes me wise concerning my sin. Makes me wise concerning the simplicity of salvation. Makes me wise concerning the greatness of His grace and my Christian conduct. I do not want to be a stumbling block or a hindrance to any other person. I want my life to count for God. I want my testimony to be right and pure. Don't want to dip the colors. Don't plan on making any changes. Come too far to turn back now. I'm grateful for the goodness of the Lord and the greatness of His Word. And the Lord said, you know, there's going to come a day when every knee is going to bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm glad I know that according to the Scriptures. Thank you, Brother Pastor.